speaking with Jeff Flader, athletic director at Farmington, talking a number of different topics here. And, you know, when we talk about the calendar as it relates, Jeff Flader, to basketball and kind of the governor's position in IDPH, they had indicated, maybe earlier this month, about basketball should be played in the spring. Now, everybody's scrambling to try and figure out what that definition means. If he's talking about spring as it relates to the IHSA modified calendar, the spring sports season would start February 15th. That's when football starts. And then some people are saying, well, I think he means maybe late spring, early summer. So then potentially that would collide right now with the IHSA modified calendar. That's where baseball is at. That's where wrestling is at. And that is where track and field is at. So Jeff Flader, if basketball can't be played in the winter, where from a small school perspective, where could it potentially be played at? Colliding with the football season or colliding with baseball, wrestling, and track? That's a tough spot, I would think.
Yeah, I really think it is. And I think that's where one of those hard decisions would have to be made, whether you're going to have it at all. They've already determined, you know, those sports and when their seasons are after the first of the year. And being a small school, you know, and our kids do everything. Every single one of our basketball players just about play football. And a lot of those kids also run track and play baseball and wrestle. Well, not basketball and wrestle, but they're doing everything. And we, you know, we as small schools, in order to, you know, to try to be successful, we share athletes. And our coaches at Farmington do a wonderful job of sharing athletes and sharing kids. And I just don't think it's a healthy thing if you move basketball on top of those and you're playing them all at the same time. You know, or if you had moved football on top of basketball or base, you know, those types of things. I just don't think it's healthy. I don't think kids can recover. And it would be really, really difficult. We haven't talked a lot about that because, to be quite honest, I think the governor was just kind of speaking off the cuff, you know, when he kind of threw that out there. I don't think he really put a lot of thought into the impact of that statement. But you know, because he's a governor, people are going to take him for his word, and then there's no definition of what that word means.
Well, and so you know, there's concern about then if basketball can't be played this winter. So is it no basketball at all, or where would you sandwich it at?
Well, you know, and I know they thought about last spring trying to do baseball in the summer. And I think they could have gotten it done, especially with how we did. You know, we're in the IESA at Farmington. Our baseball softball team played this fall. And we did a great job. We had no issues whatsoever. We did a great job managing it. We kept families, you know, 10 feet apart or 30 feet apart. And we're able to, you know, We were able to pull that season off without any situations whatsoever. And I think they could have done that. And, you know, then do they move baseball to the summer and then maybe put basketball in the spring where baseball and softball were? You know, those are some things I think they could consider. You know, but because baseball is played in the summer anyway. And, you know, so I think those are some things that they're going to have to consider. But, you know, it's – Craig Anderson and his staff have worked tirelessly throughout this whole thing, and we're in about weekly statewide 80 Zoom meetings, and you know Craig just looks like he's getting beat up, mm-hmm. and he's getting all the support from all the ADs and the administrators across the state. So I don't know. I mean, it's the other state's been very, very difficult.
Yeah, and I truly feel for their position, you know, because it's, you know, danged if they do, danged if they don't. You know, initially, you know, people were saying, well, you just got to stand up to the state and say you're going to play. So then we get to mid-November and they say, okay. Even though the state says you should play basketball in the spring, we're saying go ahead, you can play November the 16th. But it's up to local schools, right? And then wait a minute, we're not ready to make that decision just yet. Well, yeah, now that the ball is in your court, you're leery of taking on IDPH and the governor, and yet you want the IHSA to stand up and take them on. So, you know, I think in the end, the membership, they believe that in order to move forward, you have to get approval of IDPH and the governor. That's what, to me, we learned in mid-November when schools were leery of saying, hey, we're not going to start basketball on November the 16th because the governor says play it in the spring. So anything that happens, I mean, we're to the point, and this is what the frustration is from the people, but it is what it is. In order for us to play interscholastic athletics in Illinois, IDPH and the governor have to sign off, right? I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And so then you get to the point where you think, okay, then why can't these three people sit down at the table and just have a conversation, just have some dialogue? I don't understand it. Because, you know, if you really think about it, you're impacting thousands and thousands of people's lives, especially kids. Kids that are eventually going to be voters one day, but that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, you're affecting thousands and thousands of people's lives. And so the fact that you can't get three groups together at a table and have some dialogue, you know, it's the old, I have spoken, you know, this is the way it is. You know, and that's what it feels like, but that's not what's good for, you know, for all these people that this is affecting, and it's countless. And that's the frustrating thing for us as, you know, administrators and athletic administrators is, you know, all right, so surely we can have a dialogue and come up with some kind of a plan, like, you know, if we don't meet this target date, then what's our next plan? And let's try to make that target date and, you know, so on and so forth. I just don't understand why that can't happen.
Yeah, and I agree. That's where I believe I was disappointed when they were extended the invitation and really declined and just basically, you know, said in passing, we'll make our experts available to you, but as far as attending the meeting, and that's where the definitions come in of, well, when you said spring, we need to have an idea. What date are you talking about when you're talking about spring for, you know, IHSA basketball? Because I think, you know, the state is so diverse in geography, and then it's so diverse in positivity rate in mitigations as it relates to COVID. And I think that's the one thing that the IDPH and the governor, they and the IHSA, they need to get together to determine, you know, what the definitions that we're speaking of. Because the one thing that I do know is there's going to be just one basketball season. You know, because, you know, when they initially thought we were going to play in mid-November, you had some schools saying we're going to play in mid-November. Some said, no, we're going to play in the spring. Well, that's not the answer. So the determination or the conclusion is there's going to be one basketball season. Now, where that is right now, I don't think nobody knows, but there's not going to be two IHSA basketball seasons. We know that for sure.
No, not at all. And you're exactly right. And so when you make those comments of it can be played in the spring, that's the critical part is, all right, wait a minute. What do you mean by the spring? Let's put this down in detail. So if we don't meet these benchmarks, then what does that look like? And that's where I think the dialogue is so critical, so that we're, you know, obviously the governor and IDPH are the ruling bodies, and we're trying to do everything we can, number one, to mitigate and to manage the crisis that we're involved in, and number two, to plan ahead, because, you know, that's what athletic directors do. That's what athletic administrators do. We plan ahead, we forecast, we work on things, and so that we make sure that all our ducks are in a row when the time comes. And it just kind of really seems, you know, from the powers to be, and I'm not talking the IHSA, because they provided us with terrific guidance, and, you know, we don't get those benchmarks. We don't get what those dates are.
Well, and then the other thing I think about from an AD standpoint is, you know, not just the scheduling, which is a question, you know, significant question mark when you're, you know, I know that the football season schedules have been rolled out by most of the conferences, and it's a little bit easier to schedule football because you're playing Fridays or Saturdays. You know, piecing together a basketball season and baseball and volleyball and things of that nature is a little bit different. But then you factor in, you know, with overlap of some of these sports, where they come out on the calendar, and then, you know, trying to find officials who officiate maybe multiple sports. How worried are you of finding enough officials if there is significant overlap from some of these sports?
Well, yeah, that's a whole other component. And, you know, maybe we have assigners for football and we have assigners for basketball. And they have not communicated. Well, we really have not had a lot of communication other than what our new schedules are. But, you know, in terms of, yeah, we're really concerned that there's a shortage. And we know that there's a shortage. The IHSA puts out all the time in trying to recruit officials and different things, you know, different people for their different activities. But, yeah, we haven't had a lot of conversation, but I'm sure that's something that we're going to have to contend with. And maybe we only go with, if there's a Saturday football game but there's basketball too or whatever, maybe we only go with four officials. And I remember back in the day when I first started, you talked about being in it for a long time. You know, we had only had two basketball officials. I know that's not ideal, but you know, it's better than having one or none.
Yeah.
So there's some modifications that may have to be made in that area if we can't get those games and those contests covered with officials. But that's a whole nother element to this huge puzzle that we're trying to piece together is, oh yeah, we got to get workers and we got to get officials and those things. That's going to be a task.
Well, and that's especially in what I'm talking about too, as it relates if basketball can't be played in the winter, and then it has to overlap in a season where it would overlap with football or overlap with baseball, then you're talking about a lot of people in the profession that do both sports, and then trying to find officials to work all those games. There's just so many wild cards. I hope we have to worry about it because, long story short, I want the kids to play. So I hope these are problems that we have to deal with so kids are playing. And that kind of brings up the next question. I was talking to one of the kids in our program, one of our high school sports spotlight programs this week. And I'm not so worried about the kids leading up to Christmas because it's an exciting time getting to the holidays. But then out of the holidays, I'm really worried if there's nothing for the kids to look forward to as we turn the calendar and we're still stuck on pause in the new year and kids can't do their activities and athletics. I really worry about that mental state for those youngsters if we get to 2021 and we're still stuck where we are now. I really feel sad for those kids, and I worry about their mental well-being, I guess.
You're spot on, Jim. I mean, if you really want to know or be concerned about one component of this whole thing, it's the connectivity our kids have to each other and our connectivity our kids have to the coaches and the staff. I have a group of kids that I meet with every other week. And when we first got back, you know, we just sat around and powwowed and talked about some stuff. And the one thing that they absolutely miss the most is being with their friends and being in practice and connecting with their coaches. You know, that Wisconsin study that came out a month and a half, 2 months ago, really, it was really significant in terms of what it communicated. And the mental health of our kids is first and foremost. Yeah, we're talking about games, but really, no, we're not. We're talking about that. And I talk to our kids a lot about being interconnected and how we really are, especially as a lot, as a, you know, as people, we're very interconnected, and our kids are very, very much so interconnected. Yeah, you know, they can play their video games and they're talking to each other and they're having fun doing that, but it's not the same as when they're at practice and when they're, you know, walking the halls and when they're doing things, together in person. And that is so, again, that Wisconsin study really spoke volumes to the real underlying issues. Yeah, you know, the pandemic is a real underlying issue, but there's some other things that are really playing into to this whole thing, and the bottom line is our mental health for our kids. It's affecting them in ways that I don't think people realize.
Yeah, and hopefully the vaccine gets rolled out and we get the distribution and we can somewhat try to approach normal. But how, you know, the thing too is how weird is it going to be when we do resume? I mean, you know, I walked out of a gym in Princeton in mid-March. You know, just for me, you know, I'm just, and I'm an adult, and but I mean, just because you talked about at the beginning of our conversation today, you know, how club sports have kind of taken over in terms of kids are playing all the time, and, you know, talking about not playing from March to December now. You know, now that, of course, there was golf and cross country, but a lot of these team sports in Illinois have just come to a screeching halt. And I just, man, just picking up and saying, well, we're going to resume now, it's going to be such a weird feeling, I think, man. I mean, just for how long it's been, we haven't had any games.
Yeah, it really will. But I think what we also know is kids are so much more resilient than adults. And they'll be very quick to jump into status quo. Yep, this is how it used to be, and they'll jump into that. You know, we've been in Farmington up until recently. We've been all in. I mean, we've only had about 10% of our entire student body that's been full remote. And so we've had some of that contact. We've been able to get it done. And we've been very fortunate because we have been able to bring kids on. We have had open gyms. We do get kids in the weight room. And that's been pretty significant. We've been pretty fortunate to be able to do that. But it's not, you know, it's not the same as, you know, we're practicing and then we got a game, and that brings a whole nother set of dynamics, for our kids. And just in terms of life lessons and all the things that they learn and again, the interconnectedness they have with each other. And it's huge. And you're right. We'll get back to normal. And I think we'll look back at this as, man, what a really, really tough time. But we made it through it, and here we are, and we're kind of getting back to normal. And I think our kids will be a lot more resilient than the adults, for sure.
And just for you being in it for 32 years, and I've seen more and more of the pull that club sports have, do you still feel we're in a good place with interscholastic athletics as it relates to the IHSA? Now, I know there's some financial pressures we're dealing with right now with the pandemic, but most sports in Illinois have come to a halt now, and even border states and Iowa youth sports, they've come to a stop where you can't go over there and play, so travel teams can't go across the river and play. But you know, I'm just curious from you, been in this for 32 years, Do you have any worries about that, where you see interscholastic sports within the IHSA kind of going away and more of a focus being placed on club sports?
I don't think anytime soon. I could see it evolving to that eventually. I don't think I'll ever see it in my lifetime. I think it can eventually happen. Because I think the one thing that you really get in high school sports that you don't get necessarily in the club sports is, you know, I've grown up with that kid for a long, long time. My closest friend today, and I'm going to be 58 here in a week. My closest friends today are the guys I went to high school with. We talk all the time, and that's the thing. You know, the guys that you grew up in the neighborhood with, or the guys, you know, I remember the old Lombard Churchill games at Galesburg that were just incredible. And we still talk about those things today. It's club sports isn't able to offer that dynamic, and I don't think that you can replace that. And so it's the buddies that, you know, you guys, I remember when the old drive-in movie on the west side of Galesburg was in play, and a bunch of us, you know, when it was Mark Reed, who was quarterback at Lombard, who ended up was our quarterback at Galesburg, you know, all the Lombard and Churchill guys are running together, we're riding bikes together, and we're doing those things. That's what club sports isn't really able to offer, because if I live in Galesburg and you live in Aledo and we go and play in a baseball game, and hey, you know, good seeing you, Jim. You know, yeah, we'll see you next week at practice, and then you don't ever hang out together. Today, maybe those kids play video games, but it's not the same. And that's where I think that the high school sports, just interscholastic sports in general, even junior high, has an advantage over club sports. And I think that's why it'll still be quite a while before everything evolves to the club sports and the privatization of our high school sports.
That's good to hear. All right. And then just from as we wrap up, we haven't had any games since March, but, you know, I see, you know, conference affiliation continues to get attention in this area. I see Macomb is going to be a full member of the Prairie Land. Monmouth Roseville now a full member of the track, and Mendota coming into the track as a full member. So, again, Farmington and Macomb then in the Prairie Land, again, where Macomb gains full membership down there. Are we in a good place, conference affiliation now, or where is that just going to be a constant issue of a moving target, so to speak, just with the dynamics and demographics in this portion of the state?
Yeah, I think it is a moving target still. You know, we were offered to have a look at the Three Rivers as well, but that just, thanks, but no thanks. Really, you know, we like our affiliations with the schools that we play. We like our, because again, it goes to that, you know, we're right next door to Valley High School, which is North Fulton, and our kids know all those kids, and so we like where we are. Macomb, I think, you know, with the onset of eight-man football and with the smaller schools, that's a concern, a growing concern. And I'll have to, you know, hats off to Greg Bennett, who really took a lead in getting Macomb into our conference. He, you know, he understands, you know, for the life of our conference, we're going to need somebody like Macomb because they offer a lot of stability. They have all the sports that we have. You know, yeah, they have a few others, but that's okay. They can do those independently, and it really offers some stability to our conference. So that was a good move. I really felt like it was a good move. I know maybe a couple of our smaller schools aren't too sure about it, but you know, and that's mostly from a football standpoint, because I think they play them in a lot of other things, baseball, softball, basketball, some. And I just think it really provides a lot of stability for the Prairie Land. I mean, when I was the head football coach at Bushnell, you know, in the 90s, the Prairie Land was real strong. We had 10 teams, and we're doing really well. And over the years, it's had a lot of changes. And you need to look for those schools that are going to offer some stability. And I think I really do. I think Macomb does that. Steve Orle's a great guy. And he really, you know, has programs going. And, you know, I think it's a good match.
Yeah, and I think, too, the eight-man issue is an issue for – it's going to be an issue for the LTC moving forward with some of the smaller enrollment. Will any conference that has, when we talk about eight classes in football, any conferences that have 1A or 2A teams, those programs, just because of enrollment, or sooner or later, are going to have to flirt with the eight-man concept, and that's going to impact, you know, scheduling if those teams leave the conference that has 11-man football. So I think in terms of the football scheduling, that will continue to be an issue in the near future as well. Jeff Flater, we've taken enough of your time. Hopefully the next time we talk to you, it'll be post-COVID. There'll be fans at games, and there'll be games and regular schedules and things of that nature. We can hope for that, that's for sure. And we wish you a happy holiday season, and Happy New Year, too.
Jim, as always, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk. We go way back, and I've always really appreciated what you do for high school sports, because I really think you've been a terrific voice for high school sports all these years, and in a positive way, and I think that makes a big impact. So, hey, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
All right. Go Farmers, they say, down in Farmington, Illinois, in Fulton County. More coming up on WRMJ.